And so in order to try to keep things a little bit shorter this morning, the best we can, we're going to skip a little bit of the back kind of backstory that we kind of lead into in the book of Romans. But I will tell you this, we've been in the book of Romans now for 55 weeks, and we have made it all the way to the end of chapter 8. We're going to be wrapping up chapter 8 this morning, and chapter 8, the end of chapter 8 is perhaps some of the most beautiful verses ever penned in all of Scripture. Now, you can say that about a lot of things, but these verses today are just incredibly remarkable. And you've got to kind of understand a little bit about where we've come from to get here. We spent 3 weeks looking at Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, unpacking this sort of incredible chain of redemption that God has laid out for the people that trust him, right? That God, those he foreknew, he predestined, those he predestined, he called, those he called, he justified, those he justified, he glorified. We work the angles of that and the lengths of that chain. We came to the end of chapter 8, in which Paul sort of summarizes all 8 chapters in these 4 rhetorical questions. And Brandon and I explored them the past couple of weeks. And we're going to be looking at the last of those questions this morning. But this question is really meant to be a total wrap-up, a Romans in totality, if you will, of the first 8 chapters. So it's got this kind of bigger picture to it. While it's tied directly to 8, 28, 29, 30, it really is sort of this umbrella idea that covers all these chapters. It's going to summarize so much of what we've looked at. I won't go through the past questions that we looked at the past few weeks. You can listen to those online. But we looked at 3 rhetorical questions already that Paul has posed to kind of say, hey, listen, I want you to see where we've come from. All these chapters or these verses, these words that I've written are summarized in these questions. We're going to get to the last of those questions this morning. And they're beautiful, interesting, and really powerful questions. But I want to set it up for you before we get there, because I want you to sort of understand its idea, right? So for quite a long period of my life, before I got old in my age, I used to go in the summers and preach at a lot of these summer youth and middle school camps. I did this for years and years. In the summers, I'd go and speak at camps that would have, you know, everywhere from 200 to 1,000 middle school and high school kids. It was a big, just part of what I did, youth ministry and college ministry, part of my stories for a long time. And so I did that quite often. And this was about 12 or 13 years ago. I was preaching at this conference in Colorado, and I was speaking to about 500 middle school kids. And afterwards, I was sitting out in the lobby, and I was visiting with this middle school boy who had just come up and sat next to me and asked me a few questions. It was, you know, 7 or so in the evening, and we were talking through the week and things like that. Anyway, point is, he was just kind of laying out his life before me. And one of the things he said to me sat in my soul and has kind of stuck with me for years and years and years. And as he was going through his life, he looked at me and he basically said, I just feel like the whole universe is against me. And he went through the series of things that he was walking through, parents going through a divorce, ostracized at school, dealing with some bullying, struggling, just struggling. And he said, I just feel like everyone and everything is against me. And he just kept coming back to this idea, right, that the universe seemed to be conspiring against him. And I thought about it for a long time after that, because I realized that he's tapping into something that I think a lot of us have tapped into, which we've had these moments, these seasons, these times in our life where it just feels like everything is going wrong. Like the people in my life that I thought I could trust, I can't trust. The things in my life that I thought were reliable aren't reliable. Like when things happen, they happen in threes. Like everything just seems to unfold. Sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it seems to be a season of our life where it just feels like, okay, well, universe, just kick my dog while you're here too. Like it's all going wrong. And everyone and everything is against me. And as he and I started talking through some of these things and kind of got this conversation back around to what the Lord was doing, I realized that in the heart of what he was talking to me about, what questions he were asking were 2 real questions. They were simple questions, but they were very real. And those questions were this: does God really love me? So as he and I were talking through these things, I could sense that what he was really getting at with all these things that were going wrong in his life, does this God really love me? And we've kind of addressed that question over the past few weeks. In fact, if you look at the first rhetorical question we looked at 2 weeks ago, we asked this idea, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we talked about Paul's idea of God being for us and how we know God is for us because he was involved in our redemption, the deep sacrifice of his love, and how it is for all of us, and he's working these things for our good, and we looked at all those things. But that key question is important. We're not going to spend our time on that one this morning, but I want you to have it in the frame of your mind, which is, does God really love me? We answered it with a resounding yes. But the second question that comes quickly on the heels of that one, if you really pay attention to your heart, is, okay, so if God does really love me, if he truly is for me, like Romans 8:31 says, will God ever stop loving me? And that was what was tailing into the second part of this young man's heart was, okay, if you say this is God loves me is true and all these things are going wrong, is there going to be a time where he just says, look, I got other things to deal with, man. I'm sorry. But my love for you has run out. Now, I know that most of us, when we think about that, we know the answers. No, right? I mean, we know it. We've read enough scripture to know that. But there's that sneaky part of our soul, and that part of our mind where the enemy whispers into. He says, yeah, but really? I mean, maybe everybody else in your life is losing patience with you. Don't you think God's will run out at some point in time too? Do you think you can do something where it will just, God's love will sort of cease? I mean, look at all the things that are going wrong. You think God is in that? That's the whisper of the enemy to our soul, and we feed that question. And that question is what is at the heart of these texts, the verses in Romans that we're looking at today, which is, will God ever stop loving me? All right? So that's what we're going to pay attention to, and I want you to hold on to that question, and even if you think the answer is no, and hopefully you do, I want you to leave here with confidence in knowing why this morning. So if you got your Bible, I want you to open up Romans 8, 35 through the end of the chapter. We're going to kind of cover all these verses this morning because they all kind of go together. So if you got it, turn to it. If you need one, there's an orange one in front of you, or you can use your phone. If you don't have a Bible, keep that one that's there. If you got one from home, bring it every week. We will be in it each week. So before we open the Word, let's take a moment, let's pray together, and we'll just let the Lord teach our hearts this morning. Lord, what a privilege to gather in here as families. Lord, we'll have all of our young people with us as well, coming off an incredible week of VBS where the gospel was preached and kids worshiped you, and we got to see sort of the beauty of the kingdom of God wrapped up in just loving children. And so, Lord, what a privilege it is to have such a great group of parents and volunteers and led by Jenny and her wonderful team, and it's great. I love it, and I love having everybody in here in worship this morning. So, Lord, what I pray for this morning is that you would take these simple questions. It's really not so simple, but you would make it simple, and you would speak directly to our hearts, and that we would be able to walk out of here in true confidence saying, God will never, there's nothing in this universe, God will never stop loving me, and we'll know exactly why we can say that this morning. Take a moment in your own heart before we kind of dive into the Word this morning, and just ask the Lord to teach your heart. Even young people, as you're sitting out here, we do this each week in here, just say, God, teach me. God, teach my heart. What we do know is that nothing I say matters. Everything that God does is what matters. His words stand forever. We want him to be the one that reveals truth and teaches our hearts. So pray that God would teach you this morning. And we do this each week. We want to be in the habit of praying for other people. We want to care about the people we worship with. So as you're sitting there this morning, pray that God would move in the life of the people next to you. Maybe that's your mom or your dad or your kids or just someone you've never met or a stranger. Doesn't matter. Care about the people you worship with. Ask God to teach their hearts this morning. Just pray for a moment for the people you worship with. Everything that unfolds on Sunday morning around here is not about you. Pray for the people you worship with. Pray that God would move in them this morning. Lord, we turn our entire morning over to you. We ask you to teach us through your word. Let us worship you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in 35, Romans 8, 35. We'll go down to the end of the chapter. And that first verse, 35, is going to frame our question. Our question is, will God ever stop loving me? And you're going to see it kind of wrapped up in 35. This is what Paul says. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep as to be slaughtered. No, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now those are powerful verses, right? And we've been through a lot of Romans and we're like, where our heads start spinning and we're like, what? This is clear and it is beautiful. And it addresses that question that we talked about. Will God ever start loving me? Stop loving me. 35. What can separate us from the love of Christ, right? Same question. Is there anything that can separate me from God's love? Will God ever stop loving me? Now you have to remember, these verses are meant to be read through the lens of suffering. Chapter 8 of Romans, Paul introduces in the middle this idea of suffering because he knows that these Roman Christians are dealing with a whole bunch of really hard things. Life is challenging and difficult. It's full of loneliness and hardship. Most of these Christians in Rome are going to face extreme persecution at the hands of Emperor Nero, who is the most brutal of all the Roman emperors, who would most likely be the one that would put most of these readers to death. That is true. Paul knows that it's coming. And he knows that if they're not suffering now, there's going to be a time in their life where they're going to suffer, where hardship is going to be real. And those things are very real for you and I as well. We are going to face hardship. We are going to face struggle. We're going to feel like that middle school kid that's like, is the whole universe stacked up against me? Like, Lord, really? Right? Paul knows it. And so he's setting chapter 8 up, the move of the Holy Spirit, which is what all of chapter 8 is about, through the lens of suffering. And so these verses are meant to be read that way, right? So what or who or how or anything could separate it? Could it separate us from the love of Christ, right? Will God ever stop loving me? Now, in these verses, we're going to see three truths, all right? And we're going to move through them pretty quickly, but I want you to see them. There are three truths. And the first one's pretty evident, right? The first one, and the answer is going to be no. And the first one is that no suffering, physical or emotional or otherwise, will ever separate you from the love of God, right? We know that because Paul plainly tells us that, right? He says, listen, one thing separates us from Christ's love, right? He said, who shall separate us? Hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, right? He gets into verse 7, no, right? And all these things. So in other words, none of those things are going to separate us. But it brings about a couple of questions in my mind, right? So if the answer is no, we know that off the bat. Most of us in here would say we know the answer is no, but we lack the confidence to stand upon it when suffering gets real, right? But it brings about a couple of things when I'm in the midst of suffering, when I'm really in the throes of dealing with those struggles. And the first is this: God, are you punishing me? Have I disappointed you? Are you mad at me? So when the universe seems to be conspiring against you, if you will, and things are going wrong or suffering is real or all those things, and you feel super lonely, because that's one of the byproducts of suffering is loneliness, because we look around us and we see all these smiling, happy faces and families holding hands and carrying babies and all these wonderful things, and my husband and I can't coexist. All these families that seem to be able to do all these things, and I can't keep my head above water, or I lost my job, or we have this physical thing, this diagnosis, or we're wrestling with this thing, and everybody else seems to not have to deal with that. God, are you mad at me? Are you punishing me? Now, as much as we hate to admit that, a lot of times our hearts go straight there, as if somehow, God, I deserve this. Now, we hate saying that out loud, but if you're anything like me, it sneaks its way in there. The second question that always sneaks its way in there for me is, God, do you even care? And this one is selfish at the core, but it's still real. And that is, God, do you see what I'm walking through? Like, I know you say you see all things and you're in all things and all that, but Lord, this is so hard. I don't know that I can take one more bad day. Or one more piece of bad news. Or I just don't know how to carry any of this any longer. Do you really care? Those are very real questions that creep into our souls, even as believers. And Paul is trying to address those core questions. It's what he's getting at. And so that truth that he mentions first is, hey, listen, here's the question that's going to be plaguing you as you walk through the suffering that's about to come, believers. Christians, as you walk through this, these questions are going to rage in your mind. God, will you ever stop loving me? Because all the things that are going on in my life are leading me to think that maybe you're punishing me or mad at me or that you even care about me. Woe is me, right? Because in our moments of struggle, selfishness explodes through our soul. Because when we get weak, right, when we begin to struggle, we turn inward, and when we turn inward, we find ourselves, and ourselves is the enemy of the gospel. And so what Paul's getting at in a lot of this is, as you begin to suffer and struggle, you begin to look inward, and the more you look inward, the more you're going to find you, and you will never be the answer to your brokenness. But there's a couple of things here that are giveaways in this first truth about who Christ is and what he's done, right? And why we can be confident and assured that even in the middle of our suffering, right? Even in the middle of our suffering, we will never be separated from God's love. Whether that's physical suffering or emotional suffering or whatever it is, nothing can separate us from God's love. And the first of those kind of anchor points is that it's not about our love for God, but about his love for us. Now, we've talked about this extensively through Romans. In fact, the entire book of Romans is really about how much God loves you and how much you can't love him first. But we see that in verse 37 where he says, we are more than conquerors, right? Through him who loved us. And we'll get to that more than conquerors idea in a moment. But it's his love for us. If our assurance that we can't be separated from God's love comes from our ability to love God, we are in real trouble, right? So if all of it is banked on this, okay, I'm struggling, I'm wrestling, I've just got to love God more. I've got to say, God, I love you more. I care more about, you are going to fail. Your love for him runs to a quick end. It's all of our humanness. But our assurance doesn't come from your ability to love God in the middle of sufferings, right? God can handle all of your questions. He's not afraid of them. In the middle of your suffering, you can hurl whatever questions you want to at God. You don't have to put on this fake picture that just outwardly says, God, I love you, but inwardly screams, where are you? God can handle the where are you. Why? Because the assurance that his love will never fail rests in him and not in you. It's through him. Entire book of Romans is about this. You can't do anything. You can't even love God enough or right or at all. We only love, why? Because he first loved us. We are assured of God's love for us that we can never be separated because he loves us. His love is perfect, right? So we know that first and strong and deep real truth, right? The second about this is that Paul's not writing from this sort of distant place that he's just telling you to be happy in it all and you know, make life hand you lemons, make Jesus-flavored lemonade, like it's all going to be fine. Just trust in the Lord. Paul is writing from a place of deep and real understanding of suffering. And here's the thing, a lot of us have heard way too many messages, podcasts, or books from well-meaning pastors and preachers that have dismissed your suffering and hurt as going, hey, listen, if you're just strong enough, optimistic enough, if you just pretend that every day is Friday, it's going to be great. No, it's actually not. Your suffering is real and it's awful and it's hard and it hurts. And Paul writes from a place of knowing exactly what that's like. Listen to this verse in 2 Corinthians 11. Listen to what Paul himself has walked through, right? I have worked. I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivals and rivers. I have been in danger from bandits, from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in danger in the country, in dangers at the sea. I have been in danger from false brothers. I have labored and I have toiled and I have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and I've often gone without food. I have been cold and I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure and concern for all the churches. Who is weak and who feels weak? Who is led into sin? Who inwardly burns? I feel that. Paul is not writing from a place that says, if you just have faith, it'll be fine. The health and wealth gospel is a lie. Anyone that tells you that if you just have faith, you can will yourself out of, or if you just trust God more, every day will be great. You've not reached the best you. They're trying to sell books. The gospel and God's people suffer. If you read Genesis through Revelation, you will realize that suffering is a true part of being called by God. Do you think Paul lacked faith? You think he was a person that lacked the ability to trust the Lord? Shipwrecked, beaten, right? Naked, lost at sea for a day and a half. Not on a life raft. They didn't have those then. Bobbing up and down in the Mediterranean. Paul faced hardships, and he's writing believers saying, listen, I'm not just telling you, sitting out here and someday going, look, as I pull up to church in my Land Cruiser and all these things, like everything's fine. He said, I'll tell you what, following Christ is dangerous and it's hard, and suffering is a real part of the story of God's people. You will walk through it, but what I will tell you in the middle of that is that in the middle of that suffering, nothing will separate you from God's love. He has not forgotten you. He's not disappointed. He's not angry. Part of the story is that we suffer for him. Listen to what he says in the middle of those verses. We'll jump down. We'll come back in a second. But he jumps down to this quote at Psalm 44, where he says, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It's a quote out of the book of Psalms. It's a quote of what happens when you truly follow the Lord. We are led as sheep to the slaughter. For your sake, we face death all day long. What that means is that as believers, sometimes we suffer just for being believers. And Paul knows that's about to happen to these Roman Christians. He knows the persecution they are walking into is real. And they didn't actually do anything except claim to know Jesus. And so the suffering they're going to have, facing death all day long, is coming because they simply said, we follow Jesus. Right? Sometimes the Christian life is full of suffering. But they are such a beautiful part of this, right? So we know that nothing, right, nothing, no suffering or hardship emotionally or physically can separate us from God's love. But there's something actually more there that we see in verse 37. Because here's the second truth. You were not created to simply survive. So listen to what he says in verse 37. As he goes to this incredible list of things, right? And this list is really overwhelming. As he says, look, he basically looks at it and says, listen, I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, right? Present nor future. He lists all those things. Even above that, he says, look, nakedness, persecution, danger, sword, famine. All of these things he lists, he says, can't separate you from God's love. However, what I do want you to understand is that you're not meant just to make it through them. See, for a lot of us, our mentality is we're going to hold on to life like a roller coaster. We're going to wait for the hills and the valleys, or we're going to go through the dips and the dives and the turns and the twists, and our entire goal is just to make it out, to get off this ride at the end of it, and have said, I survived, right? Paul says that's not the purpose of life at all. In fact, the goal is not just to simply survive. Verse 37 says, in all these things, danger, sword, famine, nakedness, life, death, and all these things, in Christ's love, you are more than conquerors. See, a lot of our times, we take that mantra, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and we apply it to the Christian life, and it's a lie. Because it's not the thing that doesn't kill you that makes you stronger. What is it that actually makes you stronger? We are more than conquerors in what? In Christ's love for us. It's Christ's love that brings about the bigger picture. Paul's going, look, as nice as it sounds to survive, that's not what you were created for. You were actually created to be more than conqueror, even in the suffering. How do you do that? Not by girding yourself up and saying, look what I was able to walk through over hills and valleys and all these things. I am more than a conqueror because in the middle of my difficult time in life, the most difficult thing I could ever face, I trust in the confidence that God's love never fails. He carries me through. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. It means that every piece of suffering and every struggle and every hardship and every heartache in my life is an opportunity for God to use his grace to make me an overcomer. It's evidence of God's incredible power, not only for my life, but for the watching world. That verse 37 is meant to be read in the context of struggle. For no, we are more than conquerors, right? in Christ Jesus loved us. It's not meant to be this verse that you put on a poster and you read at your dentist's office. It's meant to be read in the middle of our most difficult days. And I'm not more than a conqueror, like, psych myself up. I'm going to be able to overcome this. It's like Jesus has already overcome it. He has already been victorious. He knows my life from beginning to end. It's that Romans 8:28, those he knew, right? He predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. It's this incredible thing that God has already done. I am more than a conqueror, not will be, I am. So whatever the world wants to throw at me, however it wants to pile on, however the universe wants to conspire against me, good luck, because I win in Christ. I've already won. Paul says, listen, the enemy is going to try and knock you down and tell you that God doesn't love you, that he's angry, that he's mad, that he forgot about you, that all these things will separate you from God's love. He said, listen, you are going to face them, and that is a lie. And then you're going to face the second lie, which is if you just overcome them, you somehow be victorious. So stay strong, go to battle, do all those things. That's a lie too. It's not the thing that makes you stronger. It's the grace of God in it that has already strengthened you and made you more than a conqueror. It is always and always will be about God's love. He did all the things, all of them. You have to do none of them, right? So Paul says, okay, now hear me out. Let me give you my last piece of this puzzle, right? So we know that nothing, no hardship, struggle, suffering can separate us from God's love. We know that. We also know that you were created to do more than just survive. You are already more than a conqueror, so step into the reality of who you are. And he said, but the last thing I want you to understand is this. The first things he mentioned were all created physical things, right? If you look at that list, the first ones he said, he goes, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Those are all real things. And they're not, I don't think he's being rhetorical with those. I think they're really the believers were facing the sword. They're facing danger. They're facing persecution and hardship. Ostracization from their family, trouble, all the things. But they're all physical. And he said, those things can't separate you from God's love. But he goes, let me take it one step farther and show you that actually nothing, invisible or invisible, spiritual or physical, can actually separate you from God's love. Listen to what he says in 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present nor the future, nor any powers, no height, depth, anything in all of creation, can separate us from the love that God has for us that is in Christ Jesus. You see that second list? There's not a physical thing on there. Because Paul knew something that every believer should know. And that is this, that there is a spiritual battle, a spiritual war that is being waged around you all the time. Right? It's very real. You cannot escape it. Read scripture at all and you will see it from Job to Jesus' own words. There's a spiritual battle being waged around us all the time. And Paul says, so I want you to hear me say that none of those physical things, right? They're not going to separate you. We kind of know that. But he also goes, I want you to bank on this truth too. There is nothing, nothing created, nothing spiritual, nothing that could separate you from God's love. And he runs this incredible list, right? Not the future, not the past, not the angels, not the demons, not the heights, nothing in all the created world, which is everything that God has laid his hand upon, can separate you from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus. There perhaps, and I'm being totally honest with you, are no more beautiful words written anywhere in Scripture because they answer these two deep fundamental questions that are plaguing the soul, I think, of every single one of us, which is, God, do you really love me? And will you ever stop loving me? And Paul basically is screaming out here, a resounding, absolutely not. Why? Because it's about Christ's love and not your love for him. You are going to face hardship. You are going to face difficulty. It is coming. It's part of the plight of God's people. It just is. Paul says, you want evidence? Look at my life. I didn't make that list so that you can look at me and be like, look what Paul's been through. I made that list to say, look, if anybody should be mad at God, it's got to be me. I gave my life to him, and this is what he repays me with. But what a privilege. Why? Because I am more than a conqueror. Not because I survived all those things. Paul's going, I didn't survive those. God brought me through them. The goal is not to survive it and just make it out on the other side. The goal is to realize who you are in Christ in the middle of your suffering, in the middle of the struggle. I have been victorious and named already more than a conqueror. This is the incredible picture of what's happening in these verses. In the midst of our hardship and struggling, Paul's going, there's nothing you can do. You can't blow it. You can't ruin it. No, nothing that you do or nothing the world does to you will ever separate you from God's love. So he says, believer, rest. In the middle of your suffering, rest. Find comfort and assurance and joy that God is exactly who he said he is. That his love is never, ever failing. And that you are victorious and you are a conqueror in him, through him, not because of you. Look, lift up to your own devices. You're not going to make it out of this thing. You're not going to survive it, mentally, emotionally, otherwise. But in Christ, you're an overcomer. You are an overcomer. And Paul goes, I, Paul, having gone through all those things, am convinced, meaning there's not a part of me that isn't assured, that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. So many times in my life, I've had to look at these verses and go, Treb, gotta remember and believe that stuff, man. Because the enemy wants you to doubt it. Wants you to go, God's given up on you. Why do you think you're walking through all this? He knows what you've done. He's seen your heart. He knows what you think. The things that nobody else says or thinks. God knows them. Paul goes, yeah, he does. And guess what? He still loves you. He knows them all. And he still loves you. And not only does he still love you, he calls you more than a conqueror. I mean, you have the full, we talked about all Romans, the full victory that comes in Christ. What I want you to walk out of here today being assured of is this. I know that God loves me, right? But I'm assured that his love will never end. I don't want you to pay lip service, because what's going to happen is you go through this week, at some point in time, the enemy is going to try and discredit that in you. He's going to either try and distract you or tell you a lie. And you get to look at him and say, absolutely not. Because I'm convinced that no sword, nakedness, danger, struggle, fear, any of those things, height, future, anything, angels, demons, separates me from God's love. Right? Why? Because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. This table that we celebrate as part of communion is this real expression of Christ's victory. That is actually the picture of communion. It's an expression of Christ's victory over death. So we talk about being more than conquerors. It's not because we did anything. It's because Christ did it all. And the table is a picture of Christ doing it all. The reason he gave us this table is a reminder of the victory that he has over death. That Christ was crucified and raised from the dead so that we could be anchored into those victories. That we might be able to trust and believe that not only are we more than conquerors, but his love truly never fails. On that very night that Jesus was betrayed, on the night that his disciples would flee and run, on the night that everyone in his life would walk away, that he would be seized by an angry mob, marched across the valley, and put on a sham of a trial, the night that he would be arrested. Before that happened, as he shared the Passover meal, afterwards they reclined at the table, and he took a loaf of bread, and he gathered those disciples, and he said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after he had given thanks, he took the cup and he said, this cup is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. This is the new covenant poured out for you, that as long as you take of this bread and this cup, you are proclaiming Christ's death until he comes again. Here at the Vine Community Church, we take communion by means of intinction, which is a fancy way of saying as you come down front or there'll be a station in the back, take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup and eat. There is gluten-free bread at both of those stations as well. But I'm going to pray for us as our elders come forward this morning, and then we're going to share in this victorious meal together. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place as family. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, that you would draw us together, that you would pull us as family into this great, a powerful, victorious picture and meal that Christ has given us. Lord, for you are our King and our Redeemer. You are our God. And so, Lord, as we celebrate this and we close our time in worship, may these words of Romans 8, 35 through 39, may they penetrate our soul. May we remember that there is nothing in this universe, created or spiritual created, that can separate us from God's love. You will never stop loving those that you have called. That perfect, beautiful chain. Lord, for we are yours and you are ours. as we celebrate this meal together and close our time in worship, press those truths into our heart. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you feel called, come down forward or go to the back, and then we ask you to remain standing, and we'll close our time together this morning in worship.
Thank you for the cross that you have carried. Thank you for your blood that was shed. You took the weight of sin upon your shoulders and sacrificed your life so I could live. Thank you for the cross that you have carried. Thank you for your blood that was shed. You took the weight of sin upon your shoulders and sacrificed your life so I could live. Now nothing is holding me back. Now nothing can hold me back from you. Your love will never let me go. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you for the power of your blood. Kindness and the greatness of your love. The kindness and the greatness of your love.
Together. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the joy of gathering as family and celebrating these truths that are echoed through the pages of Scripture, Lord, that nothing, Lord, will separate us from your love, that you are God, the Redeemer, that you are the overcomer, and that you have made us more than conquerors in Christ, not because of what we've done or could ever do, but in Christ. So, Lord, as we celebrate this meal and we close our time in worship, I pray that you would make these truths just evident in our heart, that they would sting our soul, that we would dismiss the question that sometimes plagues us of, will I run out of God's love? Will I outrun it? Will he ever stop loving me? And the answer that Paul gives is a resounding absolutely not. God's love is extravagant, relentless, never-ending. So, Lord, as we close our time in worship, press those truths into our heart, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Well, as Trev mentioned, we had VBS this week, and it was wild and crazy and frenetic and absolutely one of the most fun things we ever get to do. In fact, I've been going back to pre-K. After I lead the songs in here, most Sundays I go back to pre-K and I lead a couple of songs. And honestly, it's so much more fun back there than it is out here. You guys are old enough to realize I'm not cool, but they haven't figured that out yet. So it is so much fun. But this is a song that we did for we've been doing it in pre-K. We did it in VBS. And it's one of the ones that Jenny hipped me to. And as we prepared to have that wonderful gathering up here this week. And we just thought, hey, let's close with it this Sunday and just enjoy it and sing it to the Lord.
Jesus loves me. Loves me, and there's a life that's never ending. There's a truth that lights my way. There's mercy that's new every morning, and it will never go away. Oh, that we would always see love for you and me. Hey, Jesus loves me. Yeah. Hey, Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. Hey, and Jesus loves me. The greatest thing that there could ever be is that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Na 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 na. Jesus loves me. Na 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 na. Jesus loves me.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Just such good stuff. As a quick reminder, for any of you that are following, Hannah and Cooper on Caring Bridge. Shepherd has his surgery on Wednesday, and so I see them in the back. See you guys. So we'll be praying for you. We know that God's going to do great things. We're trusting in his beautiful and perfect hand that all these things that we face, none of it can separate us from God's love. So walk out of here with that promise buried deep in your soul. That's true. God loves you, truly, really loves you, right? Nothing can separate us from his love. No height, no depth, no future, no famine, no struggle, no hurt, nothing, no lie from the enemy. Walk out of here in full confidence that the greatest news you've ever heard is that Jesus loves me. Go in peace.